Good morning, friends, and welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Matt, and along with Linda Duhirsu, we serve as co-pastors for this beautiful community of faith, and we're grateful to gather with you all on this rainy Sunday morning. We are moving this morning into a new worship series. We're calling this series Edge Walking, Wandering the Hymnlines of Our Christ Tradition. And so we'll be exploring during these Sundays in February together what it might mean to look at the edges that oftentimes dominant forms or colonial forms of Christianity imagine as boundaries, and instead try to see those as generative places that might help us move deeper into the heart of God and God's unfolding grace and love in our lives. And so I am grateful this morning to welcome Sandra Lamason. Sandra is with us this morning. She is a spiritual director. She'll be sharing our message. She also is the founder, along with Jean, of Bread of Life, which is a spiritual direction center here in Sacramento. And Sandra has also been instrumental in helping to shape our faith formation here at the table over the years, coming alongside our kitchen table leaders and helping to form us in the ways that we grow in faith here at the table. So I am grateful for you, Sandra, and for this time. I am also looking and aware that there is a video image of me on there. And so we are experimenting. We had a couple of people say they were struggling at 9:30 as we've grown in numbers to be able to see or have sight lines of who was speaking. So we will see if this is helpful or distracting. I'm going to go with the latter for now, but we're going to see how this works and see how this goes, and you can give feedback. Actually, you all always give feedback, no matter what. Who am I kidding? Saying that like it's permission. So the truth is we do need to laugh. The truth is we also need to gather together in community to hold one another. We are in moments that are upside down, and we know that that lands and impacts those in our community in some really, really different ways. For some of us, it has been earth-shattering just these last days and weeks, and so we know that we all come from different places, and we're going to move together trusting that the creatives, the musicians, the artists, the poets can help guide us into the heart of God, and so I'm grateful to have some of those on our team helping us this morning. We're going to turn to a song that's called All Is Not Lost, and it's a song by The Brilliance that we'll share together. It'll open with just a time of prayer, and you might stay seated during that and just sink into the grace and love of God in this moment. And then it will build, and I'll invite you to stand in body or spirit and to join your voice. What I learned a long time ago from a friend is there are times in our lives when we don't actually have it in ourselves to trust the thing that we are singing. But we can sing until we can find our way into that. And so I invite us together. This is our music team sharing All Is Not Lost. All Invite us to be seated. We'll continue to move in worship. This is a poem that's written by Sandra, and it's entitled Courage. And so I just invite us to sink into this moment and in a spirit of prayer to receive this. This is shared by Seska Willis-Fontenot. So Courage by Sandra Lamason.
It broke my night with a whisper. Take the courage you need out of the flowers. I didn't want it, this breath of hope into bruised soul, this dangerous play seeding desire best left dead. And what courage flowers? Spare me your cultivated gardens. I live on the edge, in the desert, in the deathly still that follows landslide. Still it pricked, this call to dip deep and taste, and so I dared open an eye. There they clung, risking life, a beauty wild in sapphire popping bold from granite face, a showing of monarch yellow on the shade side of barren, a brilliant white on cactus rising strong in blazing sun, promises all of a day yet to come, when life peculiar to the broken edge blooms at last in untamed beauty.
Amen. We're going to continue to move in worship. This is Natalie and our music team sharing an original piece of music by Carrie Newcomer. This is called The Only Way Through Is In.
Can't get over it, you can't go around it, can't get under it, I know because I've tried. Checking the walls on every side, and if I could pray or do this any other way, I would have done it long ago. The only way out is through, but the only way through is in again, where the soft soul waits and hearts beat and break, and the real war's waged and won by some. This runaway train in a well-worn brain, more of the same, can't be sustained anymore. So I walked in through that door, and it felt like dying, but it feels like trying, yet I'm still only halfway there. The only way out is through, but the only way through is in again, where it's hard as stone and close to the bone, and the real war's waged and won. that you might be the bravest soul I'll ever meet anywhere. Just sitting in that chair and with shaky hands, I saw you make your stand, and I believe you can, you can. The only way out is through, but the only way through is in again, where the soft soul waits and hearts beat and break, and the real war's waged and won.
Right, I thought Lisa was gonna be up here for this moment. I'm gonna step in and be Lisa in this moment. So we want to take a moment to welcome folks to this space and to our community, for folks that might have been really brave this morning and through the rains to find your way into the sanctuary for the first time, or tuning in online for the first time. We know just how tender of a moment that can be for people, and we are grateful to be in this together with each of you. For those that are gathering online, Stephen Starr is there as our host this morning and can be of assistance. We gather online with both our app, which is called Church Center, and then also at the table.live. Here in the sanctuary, along the outside of the pews, you'll find little QR codes. And so if you use your phone, that will take you to a link that will help connect you with more that is happening here in the life of our community of faith. And there will be links online as well for folks that are gathered in that way. We encourage you, when you're ready, to take a next step by connecting with others. We have a phone that can help you to do that. If you text the word NEW to 916-452-5016, this will enter you into a conversation with Sarnit, who is our Sunday morning coordinator, with Pastor Linda and myself and others, to help us share a little bit more about our community of faith and to learn a little bit more about your story. When you are ready, we have a process here that we hope can help welcome newcomers into practicing their faith here at the table. It's a way to connect with others, share some of your story, learn the stories of others, and learn more about how we practice life or faith together here at the table. We call that class Growing in Faith. We have one that is in the midst of happening right now. We'll offer another that'll be Sunday, March the 2nd, online. That one just filled up yesterday, and so we're grateful to be in it, in a space where these are filling up in this way. We also have a few openings for our following one, which will start on Tuesday. I think it's March the 4th, and that'll be held here in person, just down the hall in the fireside room. So we hope you'll take a moment and sign up. If you would like to connect with others and learn a little bit more about our community, this is a beautiful way to do that. We had teams of folks join other communities of faith yesterday for Habitat for Humanity's Build for Unity out in historic Folsom. We're coming alongside other communities of faith to build homes for persons through Habitat's Build for Unity. And we're building 10 of those homes in historic Folsom, and we'll continue that work this coming Friday and Saturday. Our Saturday team is full, but there are a couple of openings on the Friday one. If you'd like to take a day off from work, you can do that and join others to be out there. That does not count for high school students, our daughter who is listening online. We also want to encourage folks to reach in love, and we do that in so many different ways here at the table, whether it's the small farm that we operate at Florin Creek Park, but also during this time, we are sharing canned foods and dry goods, and we're doing that through the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. In the back of the sanctuary next Sunday, if you bring those items, or if you did this morning, we will share those with our neighbors who are in need in this way. Everybody keeps asking, are we having a challenge this year? So the reason we had a challenge around this Super Bowl of Caring last year is because the team that hosts this, the Kansas City Chiefs, who host the Super Bowl every year for everyone to come to, they invited, that got a boo. I don't know. All means all. Even Raider fans, even Eagle fans, everyone is welcome. But the Kansas City team that hosts the Super Bowl invited the 49ers last year, and so we had this back and forth because of that. So if it helps you to think of it as a challenge, we will challenge in our own minds the folks in Philadelphia to a challenge. And we'll find our way. I don't really know how to get out of this now that I got into this. I'm just going to try. We're going to keep moving in worship. This is a song that is new. It's new for me. It's new for our community of faith. The song is called Outside and Inside. It's by an artist whose name is John Slade. And this comes to us from some of the work that we've been using to ground this series. We're loosely in this series turning to the writings of Victoria Lures, and she writes a lot about wild church. And what she is trying to invite us into is to let go of the ways that we tame God or the way that we box in Christian faith and to move with the wild God that actually is the only God among us and with us and within us out into the world in these wild, moving, transforming ways. And so this is a song that some of the folks in this wild church movement use as they gather. And so we're going to try to share it and see how it feels with us this morning. So this is Hannah and our team sharing Outside and Inside.
Powerful. Amen. My name is Bob Martinez, and at this time, I want to invite our children to move from this sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries. As the musicians help us with some mocking music, I want to remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall throughout worship at both 9:30 and at the 11 o'clock service. And godly play takes place right now upstairs, designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. watching the kids going, wow. Our reading this morning comes from the fourth chapter of Luke, and I'll be sharing from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure thyself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard that you did at Capernaum.'" And he said to them, "Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up in 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow in Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many with a skin disease in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them, and he went on his way.
Good morning. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, help us individually and together to wrestle honestly and with openness to your invitation to us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to reveal a little bit of how old I am. Back in the 1970s, an enigmatic sticker began appearing on car bumpers that simply said, "I found it." Put out by the Campus Crusade for Christ, it was designed to provide an opening for those who had been saved, to initiate others into the faith. All it took was for someone to ask, "What did you find?" And the door was open to being evangelized. In truth, it didn't take very long for dueling bumper stickers to appear. "I lost it." And "I never lost it." Regardless, in all of those, what draws my attention is the "I." It's all about what I do or don't do. And the "it," aka God, becomes a personal possession. It's ego-based. It's about me and what I own and can claim and can figure out. Now, ego is a part of being human. It's not the enemy. It's a necessary part of us. And at its best, the ego gives a way of moving in the world that's deeply connected to the living God who dwells within each of us, expressing and living out the desires of God's heart for us and for our world. Where we get into trouble is when we confuse the ego with all of its "I've got it, take charge" mechanisms with God. In Arabic, the root of the word "human" means the forgetful. I love that. We forget whose we are and who we are when we disconnect from the deepest center that is God beneath ego. We forget that God's ways are given to inform and to shape our ways, rather than us putting our small definitions of the good and the right on top of God. We forget that we are participant in something so much bigger than we can even begin to imagine. Now, over the last weeks here, we've been exploring how a living relationship with God necessarily includes evolution, and sometimes it's a revolution, of our images of God, which is a necessary, courageous opening, not to finding God, as in I found it, but to being found anew by God in ever deeper, truer ways. As a spiritual director at Bread of Life, part of my work is accompanying others as they take this deepening journey, which I too am always taking. I can tell you it's not easy or simple, because it's not a journey into certainty where God is an it I can possess, but rather a journey into a living, evolving, growing, moving faith that takes me to the wild, growing edges where I discover more of God and more of who God calls me to be. This next series, as Matt mentioned, is all about the growing edges of faith, because following Jesus isn't an accomplishment. It's a way. And the early Christians were called the people of the way. It opens the door to a life of continuing discovery. The way of Jesus wears down the hard edges of ego that want to rest in self-attained security, comfort, clarity, and best of all, being right. One of my favorite quotes across many years comes from Robert Mulholland. The first disciples are an uncomfortable mirror. They reflect all too clearly the ways we strive to keep God at the center of those fragile structures by which we seek to control our world. They model in stark reality the ways we seek to avoid being drawn by God out to the margins of our life and beyond. Genuine experience with God is always a decentering experience. Just listen to that phrase. The God whom we thought we knew and understood, the God who had become the maintainer and sustainer of our status quo, the God with whom we had become comfortable, this idol we called God is suddenly eclipsed by the troubling, disturbing, uncontrolled God who decenters our life by coming to us from the margins and beyond to call us to an often unimagined center where we experience new dimensions of life. That's what happens in our text today with the townspeople who think they have a grasp on who God is and is not, and who Jesus is and is not. And then the interaction with Jesus turns this upside down in a way that threatens everything. This turning upside down is a difficult and a necessary part of the journey of faith. It draws us to our growing edge as individuals and as entire cultures. Are we willing to look at what we've placed at center in the name of God and let ourselves be drawn to a wider, deeper understanding instead of retreating back to self-protective, hardline stances? In our last series, Matt spoke of Walter Brueggemann's work on the Psalms, the prayer book of the people of God, and how they reveal a pattern of what living faith looks like. It's not a series of propositions. It's a relationship, and relationships develop and change and evolve. They're not static. So there are psalms of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation that are part of the unfolding relationship with God. Orientation. I've got it. I get what this relationship is about. My life is good. All is ordered as it should be. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And hovering at the edge of orientation is disorientation. Things turn upside down. A death, a firing, a betrayal. The rug is pulled. How can this be? Ah, anger, grief, a sense of betrayal and lostness stir. Oh no, where are you, God? Are you even real? Do you care? Disorientation plants us in the uncomfortable unknown. And hovering at the far edge of disorientation is reorientation, which is not about going back to the old orientation, but walking into and through these new experiences and integrating them into a larger perception. Oh, there's so much more to you, God, to life, to being faithful, to loving and being loved than I ever imagined. This is a bigger, wider, wilder God than I will ever be able to grasp as an it. This is a God who meets me, meets us in what life brings for new life, a God in whose love I can and do trust. And then it happens again, like a deepening spiral. The reorientation becomes familiar and comfortable, and a new disorientation happens that invites us to a new growing edge. Now, we all have different starting points as individuals and as cultures. My initial orientation for the first 30 years of my life was that God's a fiction, a made-up idea for people, in my dad's words, who need crutches. We were not among them. I'd settled into that notion until one dark December night, I found myself with a knife at my neck, and I didn't know if I would live or die. Something inside, buried deep beneath the self-sufficient ego clothing I had donned, cried out the first authentic prayer of my life. God, if you are, I need help. I had a 3-year-old and a 4-month-old asleep down the hall. And I wanted to live. Obviously, I did. But in the aftermath of the shattering, I wanted even more for these precious children to have a fully alive mother. The same something in me that cried out that silent prayer somehow knew I couldn't find my way back to life alone. I needed God, and I needed the company of others dedicated to God. That horrific disorientation opened eventually into a reorientation journey that has occupied the last 45 years of my life. It's an ongoing journey with cycles of orientation, disorientation, reorientation that take me always to the growing edge. In the course of that initial unraveling, even as a new relationship with God developed and gave me hope, it was like aftershocks from an earthquake just kept coming and coming and coming. In a long, dark desert time that seemed like everything kept getting worse rather than better, I received that dream message that the poem referenced. It was simply a voice, no images. Take the courage you need out of the flowers. I hated it. I didn't want courage. I wanted protection and armor and guarantees. Flowers are fragile. Their lives are brief. But flowers show up where they are, fully as they are, daring to blossom where they are planted. And that, yes, is an act of courage. My growing edge in that moment as I struggled toward new life. In the journey of faith, the selves we think we are get continually reworked to make room for a bigger God who takes us to the edges and stretches our sense of who we are and what is possible. At Bread of Life, we refer to this as the solitary journey we cannot make alone. Solitary means it is our personal sojourn, and we have to give ourselves to it with intention and attention. No one can do it for us. And we need dedicated companions on the way. We cannot make the journey alone, which is why here at the table, communal worship, such as we are gathered in right now, and KTs are the core components of that intentional journey that is essential to navigating the growing edge. It's no accident that the gospel text today takes place in a time of communal worship. Jesus returns to his hometown and enters the synagogue for weekly worship in a place that has doubtless nurtured him in his growing up years with familiar others. There's a comfortable and expectable orientation. But there is a difference between doing worship as a form that reduces God to an it I can grasp, and allowing oneself to be truly met by a God so big you won't leave the same. Authentic worship is not for refueling the tank so we can return to our self-centered lives, but allowing ourselves to be taken to the edge of who we think we are into the moving center of God beyond our perceptions, so we can live fuller, freer lives that flow out into the world with God's heart, what we call here reaching in love. Genuine worship is the work of the people, not something performed for an audience. We are invited as participants into powerful currents that carry us beyond who we were and where we were when we entered that door. I sit typically in the back, where I'm witness to people wiping tears from their cheeks. That's the living water of Jesus Christ, right there. Something's moving. I witness people letting the music enter their bodies and literally move them, from toddlers who dance their way up here to grandparents. I'm witness to, as people take in a prophetic chant, word that touches their growing edge, dropping the penny in a new way or challenging an old perception. And we're all witness to the candles that come alight with prayers of the heart. All of these are forms of what I call breaking open the bread of our lives, and we share them together in the physical act of communion. Authentic worship is not about information. It's formative practice together that opens us to transformation. And make no mistake, transformation upends and disturbs the status quo. It's disorienting. Let's watch it happen. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Now, in the scripture Jesus had just read, Isaiah was speaking of the time when God will save the chosen people, which includes those in attendance. The year of the Lord's favor, which Jesus says is now, is specifically in their understanding for the people of God who have been suffering mightily. I bet they loved hearing the gracious words saying, "This time is here and now." What's the eraser? To be in the presence of God is to be decentered ourselves when we don't even realize how much we center ourselves in everything. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son? Hey, we know this guy. He's one of us. We watched him growing up, being a kid, doing kid stuff, getting his nose wiped like any kid. If he's doing good, we've got a piece of it. We've got it." He said to them, Doubtless, you will quote to me this proverb, "Doctor, cure yourself." And you will say, "Do here also in your hometown the things we've heard you did in Capernaum." Sounds like he knows a bit about what it is to be human with others. There's that ego part. In Missouri, the license plates call Missouri the show me state, you know? It's show me, prove it, prove it. And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." Now you can feel it start to curdle. A prophet is one who speaks forth from the perspective of God, not from the perspective of ego. It's a mixed gift that typically involves comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. A human truth is that even the comfortable can feel afflicted and can nurse grievance, a dynamic very alive in our country today. As a prophet, Jesus is about to walk his hometown people out of their comfort zone and into the edge of their collective ego of who they are as a people and how they see themselves. But the truth is, he says, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. Uh-oh. The center of belief, the it they've got, is that we are the chosen people. And Jesus is bringing forward a story they would rather forget. Yes, it's in their scriptures, but hey, of how God miraculously provided food for a Canaanite woman, one of the outsiders, one of the dogs in the language of the day, instead of one of their own. To rub it in further, he goes on to another great prophet of the tradition, Elisha. There were also many with a skin disease in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Now, Naaman's not just another Gentile. He is the military commander of the enemy army. It's an affront, a betrayal, a complete disorientation that takes them to the edge of who God is, and therefore of what God asks beyond our small, self-centered sense of right and wrong. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. We heard that rage recently in our own country after the Episcopal Bishop of Washington, Marianne Buddy, made a direct appeal at a prayer service to the newly inaugurated president, recalling that he'd felt the providential hand of a loving God in surviving an assassination attempt. She asked him, "In the name of God, have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now." She went on to name the Gentiles of our current day, LGBTQ folks, and immigrants most particularly. In following the way of Jesus, she invited an excursion to the edge, where a wider mercy than our own small sensibilities is present. The backlash she received from places of power for her prophetic audacity has resonance with what happens next to Jesus. They got up, drove him out of their town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. As Jesus invites the comfortable and the satisfied to their growing edge, they seek to fence him out by throwing him off the edge of their tightly held and indignant understanding that keeps the ego at center. The effort to kill him didn't work this time, though the path toward Jerusalem is already taking shape in these early days of ministry. Of great interest to me is how he didn't respond. No blasting back, no fighting or trying to prove or convince or convert people to his perspective. No effort to make nice or calm things down. He simply spoke truth from the perspective of God, which is profoundly unsettling, and then moved through the expectable backlash with the sole purpose of continuing to live and speak the truth that decenters. Genuine experience with God is always a decentering experience. There's something in that for us. There's a difference between being drawn to the growing edge in God, which is what Jesus invites, and the edgy, ego-based fences which we in our smallness try to place on God's free movement. We're invited to move with God, where we end up in a dead center rather than alive in the moving center that is God. In truth, there's a cost in both directions. Allowing oneself to be drawn to the growing edge is an ongoing work. It's disorienting and will ask us again and again to be intentional about reorienting and realigning ourselves with the wideness of God's merciful justice love. I end with the best summary I've ever heard of the journey between the old self-center and the growing edge, invited by the living, moving center of God. Was spoken by a recovering alcoholic at an open AA meeting I attended years ago, and it lingers with me to this day. First, something happens that finally brings you here, he said, and it gets better. You meet others struggling with the same thing, and there's this program that shows the way through. There's hope. Others have done this. You can too. This is a part of what happens in our KTs. As we lean in together in this human journey. Then it gets worse. As you go longer without your anesthetic of choice, you wake up to the lie you live. It infects everything, how you think and see and relate. It's terrifying. I would add that there are many anesthetics used by the self-satisfied ego. We all have our own favorites, and we begin to reckon with that in our KTs as we name the places we're really seeking to do good and the harm that is an inevitable part of being human with others. Then he said, it gets different. It's like starting over, a kid who needs others. You wonder, what am I doing? Is this trustworthy or a bunch of crap? Is there really a higher power who cares? You make the decision to keep going, to trust, to stay with it. This is the commitment into that solitary journey we cannot make alone. Then it gets real different. There's a slow waking up. You work the steps. You develop a relationship with your higher power, with yourself and others on the committed journey. Old shackles fall away you didn't even know you had. Blinders come off. A slow remaking happens from the inside out. Where is it going? You can't know. And then it gets real. It's like you wake up inside this new place. Your life is real. Your relationships are real. You can make real choices rather than ones run by an old script you didn't even know was there. You're really, truly alive, and there's nothing like it. First it gets better. Then it gets worse. Then it gets different. Then it gets real different, and then it gets real. Friends, that's the journey to the growing edge. May we find the courage needed to trust God as we follow the way of Jesus into new life. Amen.
Amen. Jesus would meet folks who he had been journeying with in one of those moments of real disorientation in which in different ways and in different capacities, they were being confronted with how the image of God that they had unconsciously held was collapsing around them as empire moved in. And it was in this moment that Jesus could have done any number of things, could have given any number of directions. And what he chose to do was offer a way, a practice, to keep moving through that cycle together by letting go of our own unconsciously self-centered ways and then seeing and touching and even tasting in the bread of life our common union. Church calls this communion, Eucharist. That is what gathers us within the folds of God's love, and it is where we turn now as we find our own selves journeying in these ways alongside others. And to do this, the church gives us some practices to help us open up to the mystery of God that is within and around us. We pause by confessing communally together some of the ways we stumble and fall short. We hear the words of God's mercy and assurance and love, and then we're invited to join in that divine dance together. And so I invite you to move in that with us now. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit. And I invite us to share together this prayer of confession with one voice. Let us pray. Loving God, we settle for the status quo by centering ourselves, yet you call us to the growing edge. We strive to keep you at the center of those fragile structures by which we seek to control our world. Forgive us, we pray.
Friends, genuine experience with God is always a decentering experience. Jesus invites us to the growing edge in God. The Spirit meets us in the solitary journey we cannot make alone. This is good news, for we are not alone. God's love includes you, me, us, all of creation, and transcends us all too. God is the love that never ends. Amen.
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 And I invite us to join in the church's practice. This is a way that we practice together in worship, the way of life that we live in the world, recognizing the Spirit and the love of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with the person near to you in this moment. Peace.
Pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples as they are paraphrased for this day in the New Zealand Prayer Book.
Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen. Friends, I invite you to be seated here at the table. And in the United Methodist Church around the world, we practice what is called an open communion table. And that means that you are invited. All are invited to this space, and all truly does mean all. You don't need to be a member of this particular church or of any denomination to join with us. This is God's table, and God welcomes, invites all. Here in this worship service, we'll have two stations in the front of the sanctuary and then one in the back. On the plate will be bread that has been baked for us this weekend by Jean. And also in the center is an option if you need a gluten-free choice. It is there for you in the center of the plate. And in the chalice or in the cup is always grape juice in our tradition. I want to make a couple of notes as we move into this worship series together. Jan and Colleen have prepared some prayer stations for us around the sanctuary. And so you're invited to take all the time that you desire or need to be in a spirit of prayer, lighting candles in that space. Eric, our artist in residence, is also helping us with edge walking with this installation that is in the front. You might be provoked by what he has there. I also want you to be careful with the edge that it creates as you move forward. Both are true, and I invite you into that space as you wonder about how God might be calling you in this moment to the edge of God's transformative life. Friends, this is the body of Christ. This is the bread of life, and it's broken for you and for the whole world. And this is the cup of God's forgiveness and healing. It's poured out for you and for all of creation. Come, the table is set, and all are invited. Sandra, the bread of life broken for you and God's love poured out for you.
And Matt, the body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
And the cup of God's love.
Amen.
Amen. We just put it back.
Justice, which is more than living.
We encourage those praying with candles to stay for just as long as you might need or desire in that spirit of prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, this divine dance through which you are revealed to creation in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread and sharing from a cup. May your peace bind us together, and may your healing love call us into the world as expressions of the hope made known in Jesus Christ. We offer this in your creative ways in many names. Amen, amen, amen. Friends, it is our deep hope that you will be met by God this day and wonder about the next steps that God might be inviting you to take alongside others. We practice our faith here at the table in ways that invite us, we hope, into ever deeper generosity of allowing our resources to be shared together in ways that extend and reach into the community as expressions of God's love. And many of us do that through what we call deep commitments and by giving generously to support ministries here at the table. There are ways that we gather together at the farm in South Sacramento and continue to find our way. There are opportunities that we shared previously about growing in faith and other ways that we invite you to potentially move deeper into this community and into the heart of God's love. Just outside of this space, because of the rain, the Rise Up tent is kind of underneath the awning outside, so you don't have to go nearly as far to find amazing bread this morning. We do commend that to you. It is phenomenal. And this morning, we're going to go out to an original piece of music that our musicians wrote about a year ago now, actually, as we gathered together in a retreat to wonder about God's movement in our lives. This is a song that's called Look Well, and it's rooted in the poetry and the writing of one of the great mystics of the last century, Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman. And so I invite you to stand in body or spirit, and our musicians will send us out looking well to the growing edge.
The around. silently at work in darkness of the earth against the time where they shall be new leaves, fresh blossoms, green fruit trees, yeah, such as the growing.
Friends, in that moment, Jesus was driven out to an edge. He was driven out by folks who couldn't imagine that a wild God would come to them in ways that they did not expect and called them beyond their own self-centered ways. And what he did at that edge was look at people and find his way through. And that same spirit is with us. We are not alone, so may we be brave and courageous, going together to those growing edges. Go in peace, and may the love of God keep us. Amen.